DJW Mobile. For DJW Mobile.
And for WHM, W4DJW. Yep. In the day.
Just leaving the airfield. Had to wait out a couple of storms, but after that, the flying was good. The grass was cut. It was nice. Everything was nice and green. Beautiful flying. The wind calmed down after the storm. It was nice.
I was just telling somebody the little rain cloud popped up here and missed us. Looks like the rain went south with me. But that's okay. I'm enjoying the breeze. And I've been working on the radio this morning. Antennas, getting all my antenna lines rerun and cut out a half a brick and put them through the wall instead of a pass-through at the window. So I've been radioing all day, but just sort of maintenance mode.
Very productive. You'll be able to enjoy that for a long time to come. Does that go through the way you can still raise the window up and down, or does that block the window from going up and down?
I made a pass-through a couple of years ago, and the window would still raise up and down. It was about a 3-inch piece of metal, and I put the connectors in it, and I would just let the window down on it. But I decided I wanted to be able to close and lock the window, so I went outside, did some measuring, and took a drill and a hammer and chisel and took out half a brick and got through to the sheetrock and put a weatherproof box on the outside and got my antenna wires and ground wire run through it and sealed it up and spray foamed it and then siliconed it and all those things. Just trying to make it right. I'm redoing the ground and I got a ground bus bar coming Tuesday and get that hooked up and make sure everything's grounded properly.
A lot of work. Good deal, though. Your window will be able to close all the way. You won't have to worry about that and lock. Jim Milton used to do that when he moved in a house. And he moved a couple of times. And I saw it where he got these big bits and drilled holes through the bricks and then got these fully threaded coax connectors that were like 6 to 8 inches long. And pass those through the hole and put coax connectors on both ends. And it had, you know, the nuts and the washers that locked it down in place. And like you said, all the silicone and all that stuff to make it waterproof. But really nice setup. You do it right like that, it'll last for a long time.
Since I was putting up, I'm getting ready to start doing HF. And so I'm putting up an antenna Wednesday. And so I went ahead and decided to go ahead and replace all the coax on my 2-meter and 440 antennas. And so I decided just to go ahead and rerun it and do it the right way. And like I said, hopefully I use some pretty heavy-duty coax that should last me for several years. So this should be a good fix for at least 5 years, I hope. And I'm putting up a MaxCom all-center fed dipole Wednesday. So, looking forward to that.
Another operator in there, kind of close to the mic. It was really distorted. But one of the things you see up on the mountain where they have all the antennas and the tower and all that stuff is where you have that going through the wall. They put ribbon copper going down from that connection straight down to the ground on the outside of the brick. Then they make sure that the path to ground is a lot shorter than the path inside the shack. And that's one of the way they do it. They use flat ribbon copper to do that. It's a pretty neat setup they've got up there on the mountain. Anyway, there's another station in there. Go ahead.
It's me, KN4VWA, Steve. Hey, Dave. Enjoy flying today. Chad, have you looked at SETCO, the ham conference in Pigeon Forge. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I recognized that voice as Chad. Oh, well. Well, yeah, same question. Who have you seen that for Setco up in Pigeon Forge?
Seen nor heard of it. What's it called again?
EDCO Ham Conference, and I cannot. David, can you recall WGX? I cannot remember the call letters to Google it.
But I don't know that much about it, so I don't know who the call you're thinking of. But I do know that it is something that's going on. That happens every year up there. I know if you hear ND7J, Bob, he's probably the most informed about what it is and can get you the information you're looking for.
Here, I just Googled it up, and if you put in W4DXCC by Sedco in your search engine, it'll take you around to that ham conference. And the main thing I was wanting to tell Chad about it is they've got a boot camp, and Bob ND7J is doing a specific thing this year on the N3FJP logging software that really ought to be real interesting. So, well, anyhow, I'll get out of y'all's way. Dave, I enjoyed the flying day today, bud, including the getting wet. So I'll talk to you again soon. And I'll let you know what hobby folks say about the warranty replacement on that airplane. So, KF4VWA, I'm out of y'all's way. I'm clear.
I hope you can get up with Bob and find that on the internet, whatever it is. I know they do that every year. They used to do something else similar to that and go out on the exposition or something like that. I don't know that they're still doing that anymore. Anyway, I enjoyed the flying too. Over to you, Bill, W4DJW.
Had some of that ribbon, copper ribbon coming to ground between my power supply and the HF station, and then got heavy copper wire to go from there down to the ground bar bus I'm getting. So trying to get everything ready, and hopefully in the next month I'll test out and get my general license and can actually transmit. So, but just redoing everything and trying to get it all set up like it needs to be. I tell you, the grounding is like a Pandora's box when you start looking at it, or at least it is for me.
For another guy's call sign that has a really good PowerPoint on grounding, K4 something. His name is Dave, and I think he's the president, or he has been in the past, of the Greer Club, and he has a presentation on grounding that just one of the best, hands down. If you're confused at all, you know, going through his presentation is probably the best grounding presentation I've ever seen. And that's one of the things my dad did for a living as an electrical engineer, is grounding for Roger Milliken. But and it was it's complicated. Grounding is complicated. You could try to make it simple, but I think the simplest way to think of it is, if you were the electricity, the lightning bolt, and you were to strike something, what's the laziest path to ground you can take? Because that's the one it's going to take. If it's going through your equipment, it's going to be going through your equipment. If you can provide something that's simpler for it to get to ground before it gets to your equipment, then it'll probably not go to your equipment. But then there's the enormous ones and the near strikes and the ones that are going to get it. Everything in the vicinity regardless, right? So it's tricky. Grounding's tricky. But anyway, it sounds like you're on the right path if you've got your ribbon ordered and because that's got the most surface area, so that carries it to ground. That'll carry the most current to ground the quickest.
Hey Dave, the fellow you're thinking for is K4SB Dave Anderson up in Tryon, W2T, just to let you know.
Thank you, Rusty. That was it. So, Bill, if you can find his presentation on the web, it's probably out there somewhere. Download it and watch it. It'd be well worth your time if you're confused at all about grounding.
I was confused, so that's a given. But, yeah, I got into grounding way back in the 80s when I worked at the telephone company. We did a lot of heavy grounding, of course, with the telephone equipment. And we did everything from chemical ground to ground rods and cadmium welding them together to make a ground field. And so I've got a pretty decent understanding, but like I said, it's like Pandora's box for me. You can keep going down the rabbit hole, but I'm just trying to get everything grounded best as I can and go from there. But I'll definitely look for that presentation. Everybody sort of has their own way, and I don't know that there's a particularly right way, but there's a lot of wrong ways in it.
There are a lot of wrong ways to do it. And, just you viewing something like that, that just gives you another person's perspective can trigger, you know, a memory of what it was back in the 80s, right? And, oh, yeah, I remember that now just by watching that presentation. And, a lot of things that he did were a lot of things that my dad would explain to me that he would have to do to prevent because, that grounding, without grounding, it can get really, really expensive, especially at a factory when lightning strikes and they lose lots and lots of equipment. So my dad was mostly dedicated to that for Roger Milliken. And when they would get a lightning strike and the grounding didn't work, he'd have to go investigate it and figure out why. And then what would they have to change to make it so the next time that it would work? Anyway, it's tricky. There's whole professions built on that. W4DJW.
VHMID. Yeah, the grounding can definitely be tricky. But if you take a direct hit, you might as well just consider it lost. But yeah, the near strikes are what I'm trying to prevent. I had a lightning strike hit a tree, I don't know, 3 months ago, and the static electricity had come through the radio and burned up a radio I had, and that made me decide to get on the stick and do some better grounding.
Right after I got into amateur radio, I had a pine tree out in the front yard. It's a big pine tree, probably 2 foot in diameter, a really thick one, been there for a long time. And right underneath of it, there was a power transformer for all the houses on the cul-de-sac. I think there's 4 houses on that power transformer. And lightning hit that tree. It killed the tree. And it jumped over to that power transformer. And it took out that power transformer. They had to bring a crane out and crane the old one out and crane a new one in. And it got, like, for months, we would find little, like, in the beginning, it took, like, my garage door opener out, like the washer, but not the dryer. And what are you going to do? You're going to buy a washer that doesn't match a dryer? No. The only ham radio equipment it took out was I had a long wire tuner in the attic, and that long wire tuner got zapped. So some things it just went right past, didn't bother with them at all, and the other things it fried them. Yeah, I took up the garage door opener, and the PC board was charred. It was black. So go figure. How are you going to plan for all of that? Anyway, they got it. They got the transformer changed out. Eventually, I got all the things that it zapped changed out, and put that one behind us. That's the only one I've had so far. 25 years living there, I think. Knock on wood.
And it's tricky. It can be mysterious, to say the least. And like I said, it'll get one appliance or one piece or one part of hardware, and it'll skip the others and jump around. I mean, it's mysterious. But when you deal with that kind of voltage, you just never know. But I'm going to give it my best shot, and, that's part of the hobby, is research and learning and trial and error. I hope it's more less errors and better results, but we'll see. Time will tell.
Little note of that call sign, K4SB, Dave Anderson. And while you're taking a break or something like that, while you're sitting back and relaxing, just watch his video or his, go through his PowerPoint. Yeah, it's a PowerPoint. It's worth it. I think I've gone to watch him present it multiple times just because that's how good it is. And you can forget stuff, and it'll remind you of stuff that you forgot. And it has the CAD welding, cadmium, the, you know, where you heat it up really, really hot and melt your copper together, because bolting it together just isn't good enough. Anyway, I won't keep you. I'm about home. Appreciate the ride home from the airfield. It's a good day, but I'm tuckered out and I got to unload. N4WHM, did I get it right that time? N4WHM, W4DJW.
And good talk to you. Glad you had a good day at the airfield. And don't stretch back unloading everything. Just take your time and enjoy. So be safe. M4WHM, I'll be clear.
HM, AK4HYC.
4WHM, go ahead.
What you doing there, Chad? Change. Just wondering if you and Steven made contact on 40 meters yesterday.
Bill, M4WHM in Hartwell. Chad's KO4NUE out of Campobello.
My bad. Y'all sounding the same. They always say you got a twin out there somewhere.
If he looks or sounds like me, but I've met Chad. He's a more handsome man than me. He's a good one. I think he's off to Virginia this week. So I heard him leaving out this morning talking on the radio. So, but he should be back into the week, I think.
1 week ahead of him.
That's a good drive, probably 8 or 9 hours. So he was on the road at 8 this morning. So he ought to be there by now if he didn't take too many breaks.
From here, from 6 Mile, it takes 6 hours to get to Farmsville, Virginia. So if he's going up further than that, yeah, it takes him a while.
What part is going up to? I know he was taking some, I think he was taking some World War II documents he had from his father-in-law up there, or at least I think that was the plan. I know he was having some personal business as well, so I'm not really sure.
And Alexandria, up there next to the battlefield and everything. That's a pretty neat place up there.
I would think so. I would love to get up to D.C. again and spend some more time around some of the veteran monuments and go through Arlington and just take my time and see that. It's been several years since I've been to D.C., and that time I was there on business, so I was in and out, but I'd like to go back and just sightsee.
Yeah, my stepdaughter, she lived up there. We went up there to visit, and we made a week out of it and went to Lynchburg. Went up there when Milwaukee Iron was up there whenever they was open. When they was on the television show and everything, went up there and checked out that shop and everything. That's pretty cool.
It was. Yeah, I'd like to spend time going through the Smithsonian and just all the all the different things there. There's, for as crazy a town as it is with all the politics, there's a lot of great things to go and see and do there.
And went on up into Maryland there, and then went under that, went down under water there in the car with that bridge. They can't remember what they call that, but that was pretty interesting to do.
Those tunnels like that that go underwater, they're interesting. I'd just assume bypass them if I could, but I'm not scared of them, but I respect them. It's kind of like long tunnels in the mountains. They can be fun to go through, but it's always good to get on the other side.
Hey, I done it. I'm like you. I just don't care for it. And then tunnels in the mountains, yep, on the other side, the best way to be.
Get off here. I was fixing to walk in the house when you brought up my call there, so I'll, I need to go in, and it's about time to eat a tomato sandwich, so it's been good to talk to you, and like I said, Chad ought to be back around the end of the week. You can give him a holler, and I'm sure he'll have some good stories from his trip, so this is M4WHM. I'll be clear on your final.
Sorry, I got you mixed up, but appreciate you chatting with me there. You can have all the tomato sandwiches you want. I'll share. I'm not greedy. 73, KJ4HYC.